Happy Friday. Hope you had a great week. Today is the day of the film Around Changing Your Mind, dropping at noon Eastern today. Please go check it out. It is being blasted all over all my socials and every other place. I'm sure you won't miss it, but if you did, go to my YouTube, check out the new film Around Changing Your Mind. I believe this little film is going to help a lot of you.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Started my life was kind of rough. I had an awful battle. The doctor set my parents down and said my life was fragile. Perspective is the game. I Gary V the name. Just put your head down, do the work, and everything will change. Sipping tea, helping feels, yeah, that's what I wanted. Being patient, hella tricky, if I'm being honest.
See what Gary V with some positivity.
Eating some blueberries. T Crew, what's good? July 23rd, Thursday. Hope everybody's super duper well. Big shout out to Green. Big shout out to Jamie Jensen, Jenny V, what's good? Henry Ernst, Zira, Garrett Glenn on Facebook. Great to see you as well. Sean Stout on Facebook. Good to see you. Sam Peach on Twitter. Easy Bake, Eric One, what's good on Twitter? David M, on YouTube. What's good? Marsh Makes Comics. Great to see you on YouTube. Where's my Twitch squad? And where is my Share squad? Before we get into the show, let's get some new peeps with us here today. Share. Ooh, Dustin. What? Dustin, you actually been working?
Sometimes, you know, sometimes I decide to work.
What's that? Is that a new update on StreamYard?
No, I just added a GIF. We could add GIFs, so I just looked up one and added it. It was pretty simple, actually.
I'm very excited about this.
Well, let's keep it going then.
I do like the Share squad. Everybody's watching right now. If you share this right now on Facebook, Twitch, LinkedIn, Twitter, please hit put in the comments, hashtag Share squad that you shared so I can give you some love. Jessica C, good to see you. Tracy, good to see you. Hey, Dustin, sports cards are so crazy. I saw somebody put the comment in here. Sports are so crazy. In a scrimmage game yesterday, a player by the name of Bol Bol, B-O-L-B-O-L.
Okay.
He's the son of a basketball player from the 80s that I grew up with called Manute Bol, who's like a 7'6" dude, 7'6", like a skinny, and this Bol Bol. But Bol Bol's skills are more advanced than his dad's. Obviously, you know, that kind of happens. His dad was a raw talent, just like this super tall dude blocking. And he went crazy yesterday in a scrimmage, and his card's gone up like 4X. And I'm like, oh my God, have sports cards gotten this place where like tonight's baseball starts tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking like, if somebody hits two home runs tonight, this is like, I think the card market has gotten so hot, but there's been no sports.
Right.
So like, what the fuck's going to happen now that there's sports? Like, I feel like everyone's going to be on tilt. So very worried about it actually, because I think a lot of people are going to lose money because they're going to get into gambling mode.
Right.
You know, somebody hits two homers tonight and they
automatically think they're
So anyway, worried about that, but excited about that. So nonetheless, let's get into the show.
Cool.
Blueberries and pears. Nick.
Hey there. How you doing?
How are you?
Yeah, really good. Really good to see you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Along. We had a great conversation the other day. Tell everybody what you do.
So I've built the first of its kind inland surf destination in UK. Creates perfect waves rolling down a field, and the whole reason for it is around getting people healthy, happy, communicating better, and for all ages, all backgrounds, and all abilities.
What's the website? Because what you've done is remarkable. You have a remarkable story, but I want everybody to check it out. What's the URL?
Thewave.com. So yeah, we're just getting ready for reopening. So there's a few changes just going through there, but it's obviously on our handle at the Wave.
I appreciate it, my friend. What can I answer for you, and or what can we ask the community to help you with? Because you have a great story.
A little bit of context. Just also to help people. My voice isn't brilliant at the moment because I lost my voice. I had a stroke a few months ago, and I lost every single word, and I'm just rebuilding my ability to converse. So You'll have to bear with me. My voice is a bit clunky at times.
Your voice is amazing, my man. Your beard is amazing. Your face is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I've really enjoyed interacting with you on social. Cheers to you.
Cool. Thank you. So just a bit of context. So I spent 18 years as an osteopath, working in the healthcare system and with my family, and particularly my dad and my wife. And I guess a really important moment was my dad died quite tragically from cancer. And it made me rethink my whole purpose, the whole reason why I'm on the earth, really. And then I started to put together a vision of a place, a destination that people could come and be healthy and happy. I love surfing. I love outdoors. I also like challenging the norm a bit. And that's when I started to come up with this vision of The Wave, which is an inland surf destination, which should bring a huge amount of health and happiness to people.
Nick, you obviously through, adversity, you created this thing, but what's really cool about The Wave when I hear you talk about it is it's almost like you created the thing that you wish existed for you when you fell in love with surfing.
100%.
Scratching your own.
Yeah, just literally just thought it's almost like going back to cartoons as a kid and going, if I could make the future happen, how would it look like and how would we be as humans?
Look, a lot of people are asking, how much does it cost?
To build or to
probably use, I believe.
It varies between, it would be about $45 to $50 equivalent, depending. There are different waves for different types of waves for different people. So the people from absolute beginners right up to professional.
Right, because the wave I need is I'm gonna like lay on the board like it's sledding because I can't surf and I need a very small wave and I just need to be pushed nice along.
Exactly.
So I can think about my sports card investments. Other people like you need some off the coast of Portugal shit, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's something there for everyone. So I started this venture. I had £500 and we had to raise in the end £27 million for it to happen.
And real quick, before you go into that part, a lot of people asking, where is The Wave?
Bristol in the UK. And we're also just about to start a new one in London. Which is very exciting, because obviously it's a phenomenal place, London, and very connected to the whole of Europe as well as the world. But obviously, it became a bit of an obsessive legacy, and without a doubt, my parents, my wife, and kids got the brunt of it a bit. And I guess ultimately it led to, because I was getting really stressed. We opened in October and it was really great. But I think the stress caught up with me over 10 years of graft. And
that's when you had your stroke.
That's when I had a stroke.
Which they still, you were telling me offline when we, just for everybody's context, this is rare. It happened yesterday with Tamar. It's happening today with Nick. So maybe it's not rare. Maybe it's emerging, but I'm a funny character. I interact with people and sometimes I just say yes to things. Nick and I were interacting a lot on Twitter and we just got into a 20-minute call and he wanted to tell me about his story and it struck with me and I said, let's get on the show, tell your story. I want people to know about The Wave and then we got to get to a question here before everybody punches you, Nick.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. But what has struck with me was that they still haven't figured out why. Yeah. And I believe what you believe, I am unbelievably, intuitively, I have no scientific background. I do not think I'm an expert. This is literally one human being's undereducated opinion, but I am fascinated by what stress actually does to the human body, both to the stomach and the brain and the heart. And I think it's gonna take a long time before scientists really map this. But it is one of the biggest reasons why I want people to have simplicity, because there are so many people right now stressed about things they don't need to stress that much. When you were building The Wave in honor of your father, it makes sense that that's stressful. I would also argue that the perspective of the conversation of the stress of the project the process of trying to do it was the win, not you actually accomplishing it. And people that are go-getters, thrill seekers like yourself, a lot of times put pressure on themselves that they don't need to.
Yeah, yeah. I think you've hit the nail on the head. And I think without a doubt, I created a stress in myself, which I just didn't need to create that amount. And you know, a big reason why I wanted to talk to you was around, you know, it's a message that I really want to get out there to people who are almost starting in the journey or maybe in the middle of the journey and want to make sure that there's a reassurance that you don't have to be so stressed to get through that and to get that to that end point. Is that, you know, a lot of the things that you say, which is around, you know, number one, family matters. I found out the hard way. Thank God my wife and kids are still with me, but I found it out the hard way through that. And I just don't want anybody to go through that again. And so my ask, I guess, or the question to you is, I've got limited time and resources at the moment, you know, emotionally and physically. And I guess like everyone else, I don't actually know how long I'm going to be on this planet. So I would love to get your experiences to what I should, to get my message out there for people to understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and also the way to, you know, the way to do it as well. How do I get that message out there? Because I can't be
by starting. By starting. I mean, this is why I'm doing this for you.
Yeah.
By starting. Like, you know, I also think that people have a real fascinating ego trait that I've always thought a lot about, because I'm funny, right? Because I come off with so much bravado. Mm-hmm. But I think the reason I'm sitting here today is when I started on this journey of like, I have something I want to say and mm-hmm. I think I can help. I remember, and I feel this way as I speak to you, Nick, this morning, mm-hmm. if one person is positively affected by it, mm-hmm. that's a humongous accomplishment.
Agreed.
And I think when I hear you ask that question, if you realized one person mm-hmm. is a massive win, mm-hmm. all of a sudden it doesn't feel daunting to try to amass a million followers.
That's true. Yeah.
That's it. I don't want you to do to yourself what you did with the wave.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
The answer is the process, Nick.
Yeah. Yeah.
The process of trying to help people mm-hmm. and do good and mm-hmm. be a world humanitarian that loves people.
Yep.
Is by a single action.
Yeah.
And a single person. That's it, brother.
Yep. That makes sense.
That's it. Put it out.
You've answered my question. Thank you so much.
I love you, pal. We'll talk soon. Let's keep it moving, show.
Catch you soon.
One person. Everyone's like, I just want to help. I'm like, cool, help one person. Yeah, what they really mean is they want to be verified on Instagram and get brand deals. Let's keep going.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, Bri, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. More importantly, thanks for doing this. I mean, you're changing people's lives with this show, and it's just awesome to see.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, no. So my story is, so I've spent my career helping entrepreneurs scale and build their businesses. So I was part of a 3-person team that bought IMAX, the giant screen movie theater company, in the early 1990s, and sort of turned it into what it is today. And then probably about 12 years ago, I moved from New York out to Silicon Valley to be the chief operating officer of coupons.com and helped to build that from a startup to a publicly traded company as well. So, but I've got 2 daughters. My girls are now 14 and 12. And when my older daughter was 8, I watched her try to sell Girl Scout cookies and run a charity bake sale with a lot more enthusiasm than idea about how to actually market and sell a product. I mean, she didn't know, like, she should say good morning to people when they walk by to get her attention. And she didn't know that she's supposed to look people in the eye and all this, like, basic stuff. And that experience, combined with my frustration at what I'll call some of the less than empowering influences out there for girls, inspired me to write a novel series to get girls interested in entrepreneurship.
I love it.
So I spent 4 of the hardest and most humbling years of my entire career, ton of rejection, ton of failure, learning how to write for kids until ultimately I signed a 3-book deal with Macmillan and we just released our second book.
Good for you.
Thank you. The goal, and the goal here isn't that like every girl should grow up to be an entrepreneur,
but they should they should be put into a framework of being comfortable if they choose to through their self-awareness that it feels like a comfortable option instead of being just for boys.
Absolutely. But more importantly, that they have that entrepreneurial mindset, that they see opportunities instead of problems and are comfortable with risk and comfortable with failure and all those things that you get from just even like a simple lemonade stand. You learn this mindset that's going to help them succeed in life regardless of what they want to do.
I mean, my great love affair with entrepreneurship is the relationship with losing that it creates, especially in this environment. I do believe this generation of parents over the last 15 to 20 years and it has really demonized losing so much and overprotected children that we have an entire generation of millennials and, of course, a small percentage or a percentage of them, that really are scared of failing. And I think, I would argue one of the great, I've had this conversation with a lot of incredible women and men that entrepreneurship at a young age is one of the greatest preparers for motherhood.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think what entrepreneurship does is gets people comfortable with losing. I really believe that.
So it's funny you say that because one of the things that when I talk to kids and I talk to schools and libraries and Girl Scout troops and all those sorts of things, is I say that if you ever heard the expression win some, lose some, entrepreneurs don't say that. Entrepreneurs say win some, learn some.
Yeah.
And I take them through how important it is to fail. And I tell them what's beautiful is you talk about like the things that you fail at and no one watched this video. People see, put these people up on a pedestal and they don't know that like Beyonce, lost at Star Search when she was nine years old and Bill Gates' first company went over and Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team and all these things like, failure happens, but it's how you deal with the failure that determines, how you're going to succeed and deal with things in life.
Yeah, to me, I actually prefer failure. I'm not even kidding.
You learn a ton.
Micro failure. I'll be honest with you. I'm a big fan of the learning part. I'm with you on that. I just actually like the motivation of it. I get like an adrenaline. Like, I like when I'm put in my place, Bri.
Yeah.
I like when I'm like, I almost like I like that. I do it with to myself all the time because there's always micro losses in everything I'm doing. I'm like, see, you think you're so, like I the talk with myself of like, oh, you think you're so fancy, like people like you and think you're smart, you fucking suck. Like I love that, but that's not beating myself up and being depressed. That's, humility. I love humility. I think it's attractive.
Yeah, I had in this writing journey, I had one editor at a publishing house tell me my writing for kids was so bad, she was surprised to learn I actually had children.
Yeah, man. I mean, you should have seen the articles written when I started VaynerMedia. One was called Twitter Boy Thinks He Can Start an Agency. So, yeah, I get it. So what can I answer for you?
All right, so here's the question. So the target audience for the books is, let's say, 7 to 13-year-old girls. So based upon what you learned with Little V and other kid stuff that you've done, how much should I be balancing my marketing between the parents and the kids? And what are the best channels to reach those two audiences?
70% parents, go heavy on Facebook. I think Facebook groups, Brian, you clearly, based on your pedigree, you spend 5 to 10 hours studying Facebook groups and you know what to do. As soon as we hang up here, you go to Google, Facebook groups, start reading everything, watch some videos, listen, however you learn. Facebook groups, Facebook targeted ads, and Instagram targeted ads. Instagram story swipe up ads that go to your Amazon landing page, right? Uh-huh. 70% of that energy, 30% TikTok influencers at scale, whoever can give you the best deals. That would be how I would market this book. I'm sorry, one last thing. I would look at other books that speak to, young women, girls around STEM and other advancements. I would look at those books. I would then run YouTube pre-roll ads. And you're going to rewatch this because it's going into the details, but
yeah,
YouTube pre-roll ads against people searching those books. So I would map the 70 most successful books that are targeted in the last 2 years, 3 years, 5 years that have targeted your audience. You can take that as a cluster on Google searches. And then the people that search that on Google, when they go to YouTube to watch a makeup tutorial video will get served your pre-roll based on the fact that they searched that. Or a broad, maybe those 70 book titles will give you a broader, because it's too narrow. Those would be the tactics. I would also reach out to 500 different parenting podcasts and just ask to be on the show. You'll get 6 or 7 placements. It's just hustling.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, wait, one quick one. Yep. So I want all girls to have this entrepreneurial mindset, not just those who can afford a copy of the book. So I'm working with the charity Girls Inc. of New York City, and we're donating copies of the book to their girls. We've raised enough to donate 7,000 copies of the book to their girls, but we want to get to 10,000.
How much does it cost per book?
So it's a $4 tax-deductible donation to Girls
Inc. I'm in right now for 4,000 for another 1,000 books.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And if anyone else wants to do it, 100inspiring100.com.
What is that? Because I want to make sure that people
100inspiring100.com.
100 the number, inspiring100thenumber.com.
Exactly. And you can make a tax deductible donation for Girls Inc. $4 puts the book in the girl's hands and maybe changes her life. Thank you, Gary.
My man. Take care, Brad.
Awesome. Thank you.
Love you. See ya.
Bye.
When you are gifted, when you are fortunate, you can do anything you want with your money and your time. I don't think anybody should do anything. Who gets to decide what should is? But boy, is it fun to create good. All right, let's keep going. Candace.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited to be here. I've been following you for about 2 years, and this past year I've been really working on implementing the strategies that you've been suggesting. So to give you a little background, I have a side hustle that I'm wanting to turn into a full-time business within the next 1 to 2 years. It focuses around bridging the gap between college education and career readiness for young women in college and recent grads, and it's called Happy Professional. I published a book about 2 years ago, and it's a guide that helps students create and achieve their dream career. And I went to a college fair pre-COVID, and I got good feedback from counselors and students saying that it would be beneficial for their students. Although I didn't make a lot of sales at the college fair, they still thought it would be helpful. And then as far as social media goes, I've been doing Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and then with LinkedIn, I implemented your what if strategy that I saw you mentioned on one of your other two Gary V's. And then I started the community group, community text from your text messages that you sent out. I ended up signing up for it. So as far as what my question goes to is, I've heard you mention that sometimes people say that you might say the same thing. And I feel like I can fall under that umbrella because my content is evergreen as far as how to create a resume, cover letter, setting goals.
The truth is the truth.
Okay.
I just think that what I do well is I say the same thing in different ways, in different places, in different formats with different context.
Right.
That's so it.
That's my question. Yes, how do you?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, how do you stay creative when you're sharing evergreen content when you're putting it out?
By being still creative. And this is a very interesting point. I wish Dustin, get in here real quick.
So,
when you join the team, you know, I always think that when somebody joins my team, the thing that they're most surprised by is how creative I actually am.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that, Dust?
Yeah, you always have ideas. I think because you're better at just not thinking or inside the box.
Right. I live in a different vortex.
Yeah. Where we're trying to we're overthinking sometimes.
Candace, listen. This is why I knew Dustin would bring value here. You, by the way, Candace, you might not be creative, and that's okay because there's incredible people in the world like this guy that might team up with you or share in the revenue of the book. Or you may not be creative today because you haven't trained yourself and maybe you work for a year to get more creative. Or pay very close attention to what Dustin has said. I'm not scared, which is why I'm creative. I don't overthink because I don't give a fuck. I don't overthink because I don't give a fuck. Now, this is where people get confused. I'm deeply compassionate, sympathetic, and empathetic about people. When I say I don't give a fuck, it's not because I'm so cool, I don't give a fuck. It's that I can't give a fuck because I'm not in control.
Okay.
People play with perfection because it's their insecurity. Then they put it out, it doesn't work well, and they shut down. The reason I'm thinking outside the box, like Dustin just said, is I know that I'm not in control. Thus, I can't give a fuck. Thus, I just communicate what I feel at that moment. Some things work, some things don't. Pattern recognition takes over. I eventually figure things out because then I listen after I put it out because that community is not just there to fucking service me with fucking likes and follows. It's there to learn and get better. And I listen, and I read, and I listen, and I read, and I listen, and read.
Right.
More new ideas come from listening and reading because I put in the fucking work. You know, like it becomes real life. I knew Dustin would say something smart without even realizing he said something smart. I am not scared to put out content.
Okay.
That actually helps us because since you're pretty much not scared, it allows us to kind of just be like, okay, we'll just do whatever we want and then see what, like get more creative by allowing us to be more creative because there's no rules essentially.
Right, there's a lot of people that try to build teams like Team with Gary Vee, and they don't work because the leader, she or he, is deeply insecure and tries to control everything, and then it just becomes one big circle of non-making and politics and emotions and frustration. I'm the reverse. Right. They get weirded out mainly on the fact of how little I give a fuck when it's actually me, the human. Mm-hmm. The content's me. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, yeah. Go, Dustin, go. Right, yeah. Dustin? I mean, I'm sure that took some time to actually believe me, right?
Yeah. But yeah.
So you're recommending just not to care. Just put it out and maybe step back and spend time.
To not to care means something very different than what most people think.
Right.
It means that you want to find what works instead of having the ego or insecurity of thinking you know what works.
Okay.
And so now you're putting out stuff to see if it actually brings value. And this is your hype. I never think I'm right. I just think I have a hypothesis. I'm being serious. I never think I'm right. I just have a intuition, hypothesis, curiosity to see if I'm right. You decide I'm right.
Okay.
It's and to
And to put that out like on mass scale on all the channels.
Yes.
Just to see what works.
Of course, because the channels are how people see stuff. It used to be newspapers, different newspapers, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, New York Post, National Enquirer. You know, gossip used to live on National Enquirer and Us Weekly. Now it lives, then it lived on Perez Hilton and Just Jared. Now it lives on your Instagram feed. The channel changes, the game doesn't.
Okay. Got it. So that helps. I think I need to take back and like process that. And figure out how to like execute on that successfully. But I did have another question, and it's around like revenue streams. So I'm creating an academy, since I do want to do it full time, like within the next 1 to 2 years, and I'm creating an academy around the book. And it was going to be a monthly subscription where it allowed them to have access to me monthly for question and answers. But I've watched your videos where you said, don't charge for information, charge for access. So I want to make sure that I'm providing value. So would you recommend charging for the academy, give it for free, and find another product to sell?
I mean, you could do whatever you want. A couple things scare me. One, when I hear in 1 to 2 years, it gets really scary because then you get impatient.
Right.
So you're putting a time limit on this, which is concerning. Number two, you know, whether you give it away for free or you charge for it, people have to value it.
Exactly.
So, you know, to me, I've spent 15 years giving away content at this point for free. And so people value me because I brought them value. And then they would consider having a transaction with me if I would do that. I don't know how much of a community, a reputation, a real thing that you've built that will lead to people wanting to do that with you.
Right. I'm still growing like my audience. Like my audience is under 1,000. Just like experience that I've gained. I feel like I've been fortunate to gain experience. I don't feel like a lot of people my age or like younger than me have experienced. So that's what I've been wanting to share, which is in the book. Through like internships, go ahead.
Yeah, let's remember this. The second you go to monetize your audience, the relationship with the audience has changed.
Right. Okay. So what
which is okay,
you,
which is okay.
Yeah.
Look, yeah. I can sit here like a big shot and say, don't charge. If I make 6 straight years of terrible decisions and have no revenue stream, and I feel like the only thing that's left is my community, and I've got to go from doing all of this to starting something that I charge for access, 2 hours a day with me a month, and people pay for that. No more this kind of free stuff. It's all behind a paywall. Like animals have to survive. I don't think I'm going to get to that place, but like there's nothing wrong with charging for information or access. The question is it valuable compared to what they can get? And right. Even if you can trick them with bullshit YouTube pre-roll ads, does that eventually run out once you don't have the meat behind it and it becomes a short-term win? There's so many hustler 25-year-old bullshit, guy character versions of me that make money for a year and then lose it all.
Right. But if I like eventually do want to go off on my own, like to have my own business, or I want to scale this to be profitable, like what would you like recommend?
Both work.
Okay.
Both work. But you giving away the academy for free and then selling something else, getting book deals and speaking for public. That's what I did. I didn't monetize my audience. I monetized the fact that I had brand out there and people were interested in me. And then, conferences and book companies came along and there was monetization against that.
Okay.
You charge $500 a month to get access to you and you get 5 people at first and you live humbly at $2,000 a month and you just keep building.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Awesome. Okay. Good luck, Hannes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Share. Where's your share squad? Keep it going.
Oh man
is right. David, how are you?
Better than I deserve. How are you doing?
You deserve to be even better than you think.
Well, maybe. I do have a question, but I wanted to start by just saying, like, I've been watching you for a long time, since the Wine Library TV days. A friend of mine actually got me onto you, and just the way you made people appreciate and gave people permission to not fit the mold was just awesome. Like, what do you like about this wine? It tastes good. That's enough of a reason, That's super great. I think it's cool. And you talked a little bit about the charlatan thing, like people think Gary, and I actually had some people that I trusted very much, and I still trust, like I love these people, and they see you as that. And so that kind of like, and it's all right, like, because in my mind, it kind of made me look at you closer and be like,
yeah, they just, you know, it's funny, when people have a negative view on me, I never get upset because I know what my personality vibes are. And I know my jerseyness, and like there's I'm a raw character, and it's in your face, and I'm high energy, and I curse. I never ever get upset, nor do I judge those individuals. They, rightfully so, because everyone's busy, have not spent the 3, 4, 7 hours where it becomes wildly obvious what's going on here. And I appreciate that. I don't have enough ego to think that everybody should be spending all this time figuring me out. The truth always wins in the end, David.
And that's the thing, even the cursing kind of like rubbed me, and I'm like, but why? Like, why does this bother me? And it doesn't anymore. Like, I'm fine with it. And so it's just, cursing, for me, it's...
To your point, cursing. I love people that take the high road with me, like through the years, who ended up being bad people and doing real bad things. And they would spend their time, leaving comments on LinkedIn or Twitter about me, of my cursing, only to be found out that they were fraudsters or sexual predator. I mean, it was just like fascinating to watch. And I think a lot of people cast judgment are doing it to deflect what they're actually up to.
And so for me, because I was watching more closely, I see the goodness. I agree with so many of the things that you say, being debt free and school great. School is great, but you don't need it. And, you know, find ways to kind of find your path. And I've always like wondered, you're so giving. Like, how can I give back to this guy? What can I offer you? And you've said in previous episodes, you don't need anything. And like, what's the ROI on Tea with Gary V? And I just don't see it. But I do want to give one shout out if I can, before I get to my question. Wine Text is my favorite thing. Like, I freaking love Wine Text. And
thank you.
I have wine here. Like, my whole collection of wine is just stuff that I've got from Wine Text.
Thank you, David. Crazy cool is that service? Like, how easy is that? The lack of friction is insane, right?
It's so amazing. Like, the only thing I have to do is be here to sign for the thing when it shows up, you know? And I'm not the guy that looks at the $125 wine that I can get for $50, which is a spectacular deal. But I'm the guy who looks for the stuff that's under $15.
Did you buy yesterday's? Did you buy yesterday's 95?
I didn't. I was this close. It's
sold out close. Like 13 minutes.
But I mean, I've got this Cabernet, and then because of you, like, I've been looking at these whites. You know, I'm not a white wine guy, but every one of these bottles of wine is just one thing. You. And what's really fun is I'm not the guy that this one is super cool too. I love this Healthy Place. It was awesome. In fact, I think I bought this one twice.
The first time we did that, it was like $5. We did something crazy with that one because I just wanted to freak people out.
Yes. This one was nuts. Yeah. It was like $7 and $8.88 or something. It was an insta buy for me. I'm not the kind of guy that will go into a store and look at the wines and figure, like, I don't know anything about where they come from or what they do. Somebody's got to recommend something. And so the fact that you guys recommend one, and I know this isn't directly helping you, this is your dad's business, but man, let me tell you, one of these.
On a resume. Listen, my dad getting benefit from this, listen to me, David, I was so lucky with the DNA I was given. I will never ever need anybody watching this or anybody ever watching me in my life. I will never need to do anything to trick that person into giving me money because I'm so capable of making money with my hard work and talent.
No doubt.
When my dad benefits from Wine Text, it feels better than when I benefit. When I get the 500 emails I'm getting a week right now from people who literally made tens of thousands of dollars in sports cards, nothing to do for me, it feels remarkable. When I say one thing on this show that leads to somebody, you know, being happier because they see the world differently, to me, when you actually are an empath, when you actually are structured, that you get great joy out of admiration or other people succeeding, it just becomes your state of being. I just happen to be packaged as a business alpha male, which is unusual because, you know, by the way society thinks it's supposed to be, I'm supposed to look like a 54-year-old grandmother zenned out meditating and, you know, in the hills of, you know, South America, but it's just who I am. And so you're being very kind right now and I appreciate what you're doing. And it makes me happy because I know that some people are going to sign up for Wine Text right now. And my dad's going to be pumped, and that makes me super pumped.
If it's the only thing I can do, I'm going to do it. I appreciate
more than, everything. More than you getting all 10,000 people that are watching right now to sign up for Wine Text, when you talk to those people that say I suck or I'm just out it for me, when you actually say, hey, I love you and we are real friends for 20 years, but it's only because you haven't dug in, that's doing more for me than everything else combined because it feels nice to have a friend that stands up for you.
I mean, hold on a second. Like, your book, I've got your first book, and the first thing that was in here was, like, chapter 9 is my favorite thing
the greatest
I've ever read
strategy.
In any book ever.
Share it to everybody. I know most people don't know. Chapter 9 is...
Chapter 9 right here, and this is way deep in the book. Yeah, and it's the greatest marketing strategy ever, right? Here it is.
That's the title of the chapter.
That's the title of the chapter, and you turn the page, and it is exactly one word, care. That's it, greatest marketing strategy, and now we move on to chapter 10. Like, there's an entire chapter in your book dedicated to one word, and if more people got on board with that, the world would just be a better place. Just care about people. End of story.
To me,
full stop.
With everything that's going on in society and conflicts in business and politics in our culture, I've gotten into more deep conversations and more tense conversations with loved ones, friends, business associates in the last 100 days. And what a lot of my individuals that I've spoken with have learned for me is kindness to me is a line in the sand. I'll pay 100% taxes.
Right.
But kindness is a non-debatable play for me. Period.
Even the people that, I've seen little snippets. I've seen snippets of you and somebody coming and saying, I don't know how to do this. And you're like, just go do. And it's like the way you deliver the hard message is with kindness. And I love that.
I appreciate it. And but as you know, and the people watching know, some people can't see the second layer of what I'm doing. They see it as me being mean because I'll curse or I'll come at it like with a certain kind of like, you know, it's kind of like it's amazing how many people do not have strong intuition or understanding of people. I understand it. And I just stay consistent and do what I need to do.
Well, you're crushing it. So
thanks, Dave.
Somebody in there said that they didn't have, yeah, I do. Somebody in there said that they didn't know you had a book.
I know.
He's got five books. So here's where I get real, and I didn't really want to, I debated even coming and talking to you about this, and I've run through this 100 times, but I have been dealing with some issues in my life that are very, very difficult. And you know, I'm on the backside of that, but the ramifications. So I used to be really kind of vocal on Twitter, especially. That was kind of like my spot. And, tried to dabble in all the others. I've got a TikTok account that has like 5 videos on it or something, but Instagram. And I went through, I got married, and then I went through a very, very, very difficult divorce. Four children involved for four. Yes, I have 5 kids. 4 of them were from this marriage. And so because of the nature of this divorce, I felt like in order to protect the children and the future that we had, I had to kind of back away. I didn't get to tuck my kids into bed for 4 years. Right. And so, all of that is over, but I basically went into hiding, and some circumstances happened that my church asked me to leave. And understand, I'm not upset about my church. I love the people. I love the church, and I love all that stuff. And I'm super thankful for everything I've been given. But there's still this fear. Yeah. Like what can I get back out there and do it safely and protect my family is number one.
Well, David,
and I'm remarried, and I have an amazing wife. She's actually listening to this right now.
Hi, David, you know this because you clearly followed me super, super closely. You're in control of what you put out. I share nothing about my kids.
I noticed that. I know that you don't. I don't even know what your wife looks like.
That's right. The Google result is wrong. It's that that's how private I am. And so, I think good news. Of course you can go out there. You are in control of what you say and what conversations you get involved with. And that's that.
I knew it was going to be that simple, but I have this, I want to be authentic and real and not put on a show.
Don't put on a show. Be authentic and real in categories that you're willing to be authentic and real in. Right? What I think you're missing here is you don't have to be in every conversation.
And I'm definitely not.
Nor am I. I stay very narrow.
Okay.
And that's it. You go into the conversation. I mean, you should see what's going on in the sports card conversation I'm in. A lot of percentage of that audience doesn't like me coming because they think I'm bringing the prices up and I don't really care about it. Any conversation you go into, you're going to have judgment.
Sure.
But if you come with good intent, it all plays out in the end. But there's people that don't even do social media because they're like, Gary, I don't want my shit out there. I'm like, then don't post it.
Don't post it, right.
Right? So, I get where you're going. There's plenty of subject matters that you don't want to get in, maybe you don't get into conversations around divorce, online. I think don't be, I never fear not being authentic because I'm always authentic. I just don't go into combos that I don't feel like I know what I'm talking about or that I don't want to share because I'm private.
Yeah. And, just, I mean, I can relate to so many of the people that you've had as guests. I mean, you had Diana back last week and like she, you know, she's a procrastinator because she's, you know, wanting to be perfect. And so I want to put out the right content. And I'm like, well, do I say it this way or do I say it that way? And you're always saying put out the junk. And I'm just like, that just freaks me out. Putting out the trash just freaks me out.
It freaks you out because you value the judgment too much.
Maybe.
You got it? It's also why you're fearful, right? Like when you go through something like that and you gave me some context, there's a lot of judgment that comes along without full context. And so that makes people retrieve. You know, there's so many people. I mean, people are struggling right now because we have cancel and mob culture. People are judging everything. You know, one of our political parties sells fear. The other one sells shame. It's you know, at the extremes, it's very, 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 very difficult.
But yeah, and I'm worried that somebody's going to see something and go, oh, well, I'm going to use that against him. And it's like, you know, I don't want to live in that fear.
Then don't get involved in things that could lead to that. Say things you believe in and stay in conversations that you're comfortable in. It's why I don't go into healthcare conversations or how to build bridges, or I don't talk about cryptocurrency. People want me to talk about it all the time. I've got my little base of knowledge. You know, I invested in Bitcoin right. A long time ago and so kind of did well, but like, you know, have not stayed up with it, blockchain, things of that nature. I actually know quite a bit because even me not staying up on it, the way I roll probably has, like, I watch people talking that claim literally in their thing, say cryptocurrency experts, and I don't even know what they're saying is wrong. You know, the sports card thing, I studied for a year before I started putting out content, and I was in that business for 11 years of my life and deeply am involved in sports. I know what I'm talking about. So stay in what you know and say what you mean. And people using it against you can only be, I mean, listen, David, we have a technology called deep fake. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I do, yes.
We're gonna live in a world in 15 years where people are gonna have me in this video say something I didn't say because the technology is that advanced. People are not gonna even believe in video. We're gonna have to live in a very different world of like, of real self-love, and compassion, because people are chipping away and are trying to divide. And what we need to do is come together. And I'm just very not interested in judging people because I know we don't have all the context. And I'm very interested in loving people until proven otherwise. And I'm compassionate and empathetic and sympathetic. And I don't need any validation from anybody. I'm in my own cocoon. And that's what you need to practice to get to. Period, end of story. I mean that. If you know who you are and your children know who you are and your loved ones know who you are, who gives a fuck what Sammy Pants 96 thinks? You just kind of have to get there, brother. And I know that through parenting and high school and life, that 95% of people watching right now do feel things when somebody says bad something about them. I'm just trying to teach them how not to. And it actually starts with not getting too high in reverse. What people don't realize about me is like when you started saying all those nice things in the beginning, I get a little shy, believe it or not. Like I
can relate to that.
I'm aware that I've got good stuff going on. I don't need it. I don't need the accolades, which is why I'm not vulnerable to the criticism.
Right on. Yeah, I just need to maybe laser focus. And I mean, like your last guest, you know, Candace, she said she's not creative. I'm not creative either, but I am a Jedi master at copy and paste. And so, you know, I see what you're doing.
Copy and paste your way into happiness and recognize that you went through a shitstorm for 4 or 5 years. How much worse is it going to be? Don't be scared.
Yeah. Cool. Man, thanks so much for everything you do. I appreciate it.
Cheers. Cheers. Somebody said it's hard to be very nice. It's so funny, Chris Vargas. Pin this one, Dustin. I couldn't disagree more, Chris. And what I mean by that is it's actually very easy to be very nice. You just have to love yourself first, because when you're nice and it's not reciprocated, you can't take it personal. You know? I think it's stunningly easy to be nice. because I don't think the world owes me anything. I don't think any human owes me anything. And I think that when people let me down, that's their loss, not mine. I really believe that shit. Let's keep it moving.
Hey, morning, Gary.
Morning, brother. How are you?
I'm happy. How are you doing?
I'm happy too. What's good, AJ?
I don't know if you recognize my face, but about a month ago, I made a TikTok of me putting you in a Jets uniform. You put on your Instagram story.
Bro, it was... I have it right here. Dude, that was so well done.
Thank you.
What incredible... I was blown away by that. And as you know, I don't share that. I mean, I get so much stuff made about me. Mm-hmm. And I get 5 million Jets things made about me a day. But that was so well done. You're talented, bro.
Thank you. Yeah, so actually, that was my job for about 3 years, was work for the Nebraska football team, putting recruits in uniforms and stuff like that. So I was super happy to do it. I was talking to
Tyler. If they can visualize it, they can sign.
Exactly. So yeah, let me tell a little bit about me. So I'm 22 in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I actually just graduated this past semester.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm a graphic designer and illustrator. One of them being sports design, so kind of similar to the thing I made for you. But the primary form, I do a lot of outdoor design. So the Patagonia North Face type shirts you see, and logos and stuff like that. So big passions of mine are just, you know, helping out and loving people, but also the environment. So I graduated, and, you know, in this crazy time, I was trying to find motivation, and my brother Justin recommended me to Crushing It. And so, you know, I'm one to find the goal and kind of chase after it once I have it. And kind of halfway through reading the book, I kind of just put it down, and I made a TikTok, you know, got to like posting 6 times a day. And that led me to kind of have this cool series where every day I was making a shirt as if I were working for Patagonia, or, you know, if North Face, and got a really cool response out of it. They both got around 1 million views, and it was awesome. Before I go into my question, I want to tell you a bit more. I had this other concept I created. It's called NFL Nature Week. And so I kind of wanted to combine both of my passions, and the idea I essentially had. So I actually redesigned every NFL team's logo in kind of an outdoor style. And I did that. I made apparel. I did this for all these teams. And the idea would be that they would wear these, sell these out to fans, and then raise money for a national park or environment.
I love that. That's very clever.
And that, you know, team state. So it'd be kind of state.
I love it. I get it. Totally get it.
So I've been trying to kind of push that out, and I've been really blessed and happy lately. I've been getting a lot of good responses, and, you know, taking on cool projects and stuff like that. So essentially my days look like, you know, I'll post content for myself. So content, you know, I have stickers right here, but, you know, stuff like this where I'll make and I'll sell shirts and stickers and stuff. So I do all the inventory for that. I ship everything. Along with that, I'm doing freelance work.
You're living it.
You're
ambitious. Absolutely. You like what you do. You're in the fucking zone.
Yeah. And I took your advice too. I started doing a free online Zoom drawing class, and it's been cool to kind of have and act like I'm a teacher and know what I'm talking about.
You know what about. I like? Well, you do know what you're talking about because you're living it. You don't need credentials. I like that you're playing high and low, right? You're creating these what if scenarios that are getting attention for the biggest companies in the world, and you're in the trenches giving back. You're winning, you're playing a little bit, you're getting very real and close to my framework. Keep going.
Yeah, so I'm doing that. I'm doing the class, right? I'm pitching NFL Nature Week, talking to a couple teams about that, trying to get it off, you know, talking to big brands, like you said. And so so another plug with TikTok, I posted a TikTok about the shirts a while back, and took the Patagonia off, you know, replaced the text and sold the shirts. And my couple orders I did a while back, I got maybe 50 orders. And right now I'm sitting at like 400. So it's crazy. And I'm going to need a lot of help shipping out those shirts because it's literally just me. So my question is more, you know, being able to be smart with my time, like, you know, I can't go full force in all, you know, all of these things.
You're gonna have to hire when that's possible. given COVID.
Okay.
Right now I would tap into relatives.
Okay. Yeah. So like, my mom and dad, my whole family were super close and they're really happy to help.
That's it, man. Put your mom to work. And if you happen to have some younger cousins or nephews or nieces or even a best friend, this is the time. Family mm-hmm. life.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's definitely something I've thought about.
Best friends, like your best friend sleeping in your room after quarantines for a couple of weeks, to like make sure your family feels right or however you guys see the world with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I live with three other guys and yeah, they're happy to help too. So,
I don't know. You live with three other guys?
Yeah.
dude, you're set. Can we coerce these guys can we pay them and have them help?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's called scaling a business. Let's fucking go.
Yeah. So,
of course you should not ship a single thing. You need to design. You're the talent. I shipped boxes for Wine Library. I shipped the first 5,000 cases of wine that shipped out of winelibrary.com in 1997, 8, 9, 10, you know, and then there was enough money to hire somebody.
Yeah. I mean, so for me, I do all the inventory and, you know, ship all my stickers. So I'm shipping, you know, probably 50 letters every week and having to do that. And which kind of leads me a new question is like, you know, delegating and giving responsibility to other people. When you first started, was that?
It was easy because I wasn't scared because I knew I could say I'm sorry.
That's good. Yeah. No. One of my biggest fears.
Hey, Jen, I didn't get here by accident. Of course it's good, motherfucker. No, but really, I get it. I can see notice how my answer, you know what I like about how I see the world? It's all context. I can see you're a sweet soul. I'm a sweet soul. That's why I see it. I'm like, oh, I know this guy's problem. He doesn't know what I know, which is I'm sorry is unbelievably powerful.
My biggest fear is like shipping something out, them not getting it, you know, thinking I'm
back.
And yeah.
Me too. I literally drove a case of $20 white Zinfandel in a snowstorm during the holidays because it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. And quite honestly, you know, with my question of all these responsibilities and things I want to do, you know, one of my biggest stresses is like the more people that are looking at my stuff, you know, I want to respond to people like you respond to people. And, you know, I want to.
You can if you're not packing shipments because you're scared that Joey's going to put the fucking wrong t-shirt in for Carol.
Yeah, for sure. And
That's it.
I like that.
I know you like it. I was super like, you know, like what's fun in the way, you know, and I think people know this because it rolls so fast up here. A lot of times I cut off, but most of the time I actually don't, but I can see where the path is going. So I couldn't wait till we got to this money moment because I'm like, this kid's really about to take off because once I drop this fucking jewel in his pocket, he's gonna fucking fly. Because when you love the process, which I know you do because I'm listening, you start not caring as much about the money. A lot of people care too much about the money and they're like, fuck, if Joey sends it to Carol and I gotta reship it, I'm gonna loot that. That's fucking small lack of abundance mentality. When you don't care about that, and when you care about your reputation, but you realize when you call fucking Carol and like, hey, Carol, this is AJ, I'm so sorry. Yeah, believe it or not, my buddy who's like, how about we're scared? She's gonna lose her mind. The I'm sorry is better than if the fucking t-shirt got there on time.
Yeah, that's true.
And I know you're gonna do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah.
You're welcome so much. And AJ, this is what's so fun for me. You write the book, it's so right, it helps somebody like you pop off. Then there's a show, you come on, now I give you another nugget. 6 years from now, you know, you'll listen to me on a podcast and it will be the next nugget. It's so funny. I was so excited to being the whiz kid when I was in my game. I always wondered what it would feel like to get older. Like, you know, cause I love sports so much. I'm like, you know, it must like, I love the climb. Right. But it's been unbelievable how much enjoyment I get from being a little bit more of the Yoda instead of the Anakin, you know?
Yeah. One of the things that I really appreciate about you is obviously your importance with family, your importance with, you know, taking care of yourself. And deep down, right, we're just meant to live simply and love people and whatever. But just like you, I'm extremely competitive. You know,
ambitious.
I want to do something, right? And so
you will, bro. I can see it already, man. I'm so confident about that. I can smell it.
Thank you. Yeah, no.
Just now, add patience.
Okay. I mean,
how old are you?
Something. I'm 22.
Right. I mean, like, I was literally a cashier at 22. I'm being dead fucking serious.
Yeah. I mean, I found my thing maybe 2 years ago and, you know, been doing it every day. And
got this, bro. You got this. I'm proud of you.
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
T-Squad, thank you so much for being on the show. Definitely sign up for Wine Text if you buy wine at all. If you drink wine at all, sign up for Wine Text. Today's offer is actually bananas. I just hope you had a good time as much as I did. We're really doing things out here. This was a really good show. I just really appreciate this community a lot. I hope you got as much. I hope you got as much as I thought came out of this show. Good show. I love you all so much. Take care. Sports Cards Crew, get educated. You can lose a lot of money in sports cards, even as hot as it is, if you're not educated. Education, patience. See ya. All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is Greatest Podcast of All Time by Daniel Ice. I've been a huge music nerd my entire life, and I could never see myself listening to a podcast. The first time I listened to Gary V, it changed all of that. I've listened to him every single day for a year now, and his content gets better all the time. If you want motivation and action steps to having a better business and life, this podcast is for you. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.